Well, starting last Sunday, I began teaching you about spiritual gifts. Many of you may already know a lot about spiritual gifts. I'm not quite sure about that, but in your bulletin there is an outline. Looks like this here, and if you'd like to take some notes of today's message, you can do that on that outline. I'm not going to be like one of our deacons that was sharing this morning. He said he would give a prize at the end, depending on how many blanks you filled in. I'm not going to do any prizes today, but the prize is just that you get to hear me speak. Isn't that amazing? Oh, golly, getting deep up here. Great to see. I enjoy speaking about spiritual gifts because I have found it to be one of the most misunderstood topics, especially in Southern Baptist churches. When I was just a teenager, that's when kind of all the worship wars started, and a lot of the information that was coming out was the difference about spiritual gifts and how one church did this and one church did this. And so Baptists basically about 30 years ago or so just decided to stop worrying about the Holy Spirit and just kind of let him check out to the side. And we realized after a while that that was not right. The Holy Spirit has a place in our church, and just because other people might corrupt the role of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that as Baptists we should just disavow the role of the Holy Spirit. So he does have a role to play, and one of those is in the realm of the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are God's toolbox to help us grow the kingdom. Just think about it. If God said to you, I want to build my kingdom, I'm going to save you, now you go figure out how to do it, that'd be rather shocking, wouldn't it? But he doesn't do that. He says, not only am I going to save you, I'm also going to put within you at least one spiritual gift, and that gift used in the body of Christ will help not only strengthen you as an individual, strengthen the body, but will grow the kingdom of God. And so we've got to stop being afraid that the Holy Spirit might come and do a work among us, because indeed that is what's lacking in most of the 300,000 churches across America, is that they have set the Spirit aside and they're afraid of Him. He never does anything that is chaotic or out of line. It will follow Scripture. It will honor God. It will raise the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we need to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives and our presence, our churches. We can't do the work of the kingdom without the spiritual gifts. We always know we need more than we personally can bring to the table. And through the gifts, God provides the capacity then for us to do something in ministry that is effective and fruitful and is eternal in its role. And frustration I have seen through the years with Christians is either in one of two areas. Either they're not serving at all, which I'm here to tell you that every Christian should have a place of service within the body of Christ. And so it is sin, it is disobedience for you not to be serving in some role. And the second frustration is when people are serving, but they find that they are serving in an area where they're not gifted. They're serving outside of their giftedness. And there are certain things that I'm not called to do. After Friday teaching in the preschool area for Bible school, one of the things I said was, God has not called me to teach preschoolers, okay? I certainly don't have the spiritual gift of preschoolers, all right? If there is one, but I don't have it. So we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts the rest of this month, and let me just remind you of the definition. It's a distinctive ability given by the Holy Spirit to every Christian. It's by God's grace and design to accomplish His will for the church. There's several different components there, and I won't go through all of them again today, but I do want to point out that every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And God designs, God determines what your spiritual gift will be. Now, the scripture passage that are the main or key passages in scripture about spiritual gifts, I want you to be aware of those. So they're listed there in your outline. And I've added one today that we're going to read here in just a moment. It's Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Now, the spiritual gifts have some comparisons to different things that or other things that we do in our Christian walk. And this is the area where I get a lot of questions from time to time from people about spiritual gifts. So we're going to talk about these three areas today. The first one is, How do spiritual gifts relate to natural talents? Now, I embarrassed myself last week when I said something about the talent that, I can't even think of her name, Barbara Streisand had. Now, in this service, how many of you know who Barbara Streisand is? Well, in the next service, nobody knew who Barbara Streisand was. So when we went to lunch with the staff this week, I said something about an app that I have on my my phone, my laptop, and things called Pandora, and it's a plays radio station music and things. And I asked Michael Carpenter if I could retrieve some of the songs that I played on Pandora and play them again. And I said I might want to play something over again. And Cody Pierce looked at me and said, "You mean something like Barbara Streisand?" You know. So I realized I had really stepped over the line there. So, but there are people around us that we see all the time that display their natural talents. So how do natural talents and spiritual gifts come together? That's what we're going to talk about. The second area that we'll talk about is what about the fruit of the Spirit? I'm going to read here in just a moment from Galatians 5. We're introduced to the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. How do the fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts relate to one another? And then finally, some of the spiritual gifts talk about things that all Christians are supposed to be participating in, even if they don't have a spiritual gift for it. So how do the spiritual gifts relate to common Christian responsibilities? So those are the things we're going to talk about: natural talents, the fruit of the Spirit, and Christian responsibilities, how they relate to spiritual gifts. Now let's read from Galatians chapter 5, if you'll join me there. We're going to start in verse 16 of that chapter, Galatians 5 and verse 16. "I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So this passage basically sets up for us that there is a comparison. There is a difference between the way we live out our flesh, our secular side of our life, our flesh, our personal part, and the way we live our spiritual life. There is a difference in those two things, and we are called to live under the guidance of the Spirit and not give in to the temptations and leadership and urgings, passions of our flesh. So let's talk, first of all, about how the spiritual gifts compare to natural talents. Now, all persons have talents. Let's just take a survey here. What are some of the talents that you have either experienced in yourself or in others? What are some talents? When we think about talents, what are we talking about? Singing, speaking in public, craftsmanship. Might be able to, you're a good writer, maybe you know how to dance. If you're a good Baptist, you probably don't know how to dance, but we try, don't we? We try. You're an artist. There's a number of things that we'd say are talents. Now, everyone has some kind of a talent. Maybe you're a good cook. Maybe you know how to use the remote control on the TV. Well, whatever your talent is, let's not condemn anyone. But even atheists have natural talents. Would you agree with me? They may have talents. But only Christians have spiritual gifts. We need to make that obvious. So that when someone displays a natural talent, it may be way over the top in terms of quality, but that is a natural ability, and it is not a spiritual ability. Spiritual gifts can only go to Christians. Now, the two things then are not the same. Natural talents are not the same as a spiritual gift because they come from different sources. Now, talents can be used in expressing spiritual gifts. And I'll give you an example. Someone that has a gift of teaching. Now, they may not necessarily be a good teacher in the classroom, but maybe their natural abilities are that they are a writer. And someone who has a gift of teaching doesn't teach verbally, but they are able then to research and design a lesson plan and put it into writing, and then others use it to then teach it verbally to others. So that is a way we don't normally think of, but that is where a natural talent of writing ability or communication then lives out or fleshes out their spiritual giftedness of teaching. We like to think that if somebody has the gift of teaching, then they're the best Sunday school teacher we've ever heard. But that is not the only way that someone might flesh out the abilities that they have. Depends a lot on their talents. Now here's some other examples, like computer skills and the gift of helps. Somebody who is good at computers, and that's their natural talent, they may also have the gift of helps, and so they spend their time coming alongside others and helping them do a better job. I've experienced that because of my age. I'm kind of like right on the border between a generation that should know a lot about computers and those that don't know anything about computers. And so I have always, through my ministry, tried to find people around me that can express to me their natural abilities in computers and help me to do a better job. And that's an illustration of how natural talents and the gift of help, the spiritual helps, then come together, or spiritual gifts come together. Another one might be financial management skills and the gift of administration. Somebody's good at finances. God gives them the spiritual gift of administration, and they are able to help the church or help families, help individuals in their budgeting, whatever it might be. A third one would be counseling is their natural ability or their learned skill, and yet then God gives them the gift of mercy. You know, so those two things paired together can be a powerful force. Talents can provide an avenue for the gifts, but they aren't the same as gifts. So we're going to do a comparison here just so that you'll kind of get some ideas of how these things fit together. First of all, natural talents, we get those through heredity from our biological parents. Something is passed on to us. Maybe you've always heard, you know, oh, grandpa was a great carpenter, and now we see that living out in our grandson or our granddaughter. They have those abilities as well. Something that's passed down through heredity. But spiritual gifts is not something you cannot pass that on to someone. It has to be something that God gives through the Holy Spirit. It is given by God through the Holy Spirit, a spiritual gift. A natural talent is something that is present from natural birth. When you're born, it is there. You show a propensity for something, or you show a tendency to enjoy something, and that is there from birth. But your spiritual gift is present from the moment that you experience conversion, from the time that you receive Christ as your Savior. So there might be something that you never were able to do before, you had no interest in at all, and yet when God saves you, then He puts within you that spiritual gift, and it begins to blossom or flower something totally different that you would have never had any ability before. Benefits, natural talents benefit people in the earthly natural realm, but spiritual gifts benefit people in the spiritual realm. Now this is, it's true and it's obvious to see, but it is hard then to necessarily illustrate. Because somebody might say, well, I went to so-and-so's concert, and man, when they sing, I just am moved from my heart. Isn't that a real spiritual gift they have? Well, not necessarily. The spiritual gift comes in what the results are. When you have natural talents, you are looking for the demonstration of the talent. But when you talk about spiritual gifts, you're looking for what that ability brings as a result in terms of eternal consequences. And that is where our thinking has to change in how we compare natural talents and spiritual gifts. If I go to a concert, and through the years I've gone to some, and I won't mention any names because I'll show my age, my daughter is bringing me a CD, the new CD of Michael Bublé this weekend. Does that count for anything? I don't know. But we go, anybody know who Michael Bublé is? Oh, okay. Thank you. The three of us will gather over here in the corner for prayer at the end of the service. When someone demonstrates a talent and it moves us, I've been to dramatic presentations or concerts, and something just grabs a hold of you. A movie sometimes will do that. And so we are moved to think, oh boy, that really gets me in my spirit. It must be a spiritual gift. But not necessarily. We have to wait and linger and take our time patiently seeing whether or not it results in eternal consequences, things in the spiritual realm. Then we know that it is a gift that is given to the person for the benefit of the body of Christ. So that's not always obvious. A fourth thing is natural talents advance human plans, but spiritual gift advances God's plans. And so there are sometimes, for example, years ago when I was an associate pastor at a church, we had a deacon, his name was Jack. And Jack didn't say a whole lot, but it proved that whenever Jack would speak, it seemed to be just the right word for just the right time and bring the direction or the peace that the church needed to hear. He was not a man of many words, but when he spoke, it resulted in spiritual consequences in the life of the body. And so we knew that the gift of his wisdom came from God because it benefited the body. It was not just earthly wisdom or natural or worldly wisdom about things. It had a spiritual component to it that resulted in the edification in the body of Christ. Natural talents' results are temporal. They last just a short time. But spiritual gift results are eternal. They impact the body and the kingdom, and they last. And finally, natural talents glorify the self. Spiritual gifts glorify God. We need to have better antennas in the church, and I'm just giving you this as a suggestion, but I think we need better antennas. When we have someone who sings or someone who speaks or someone who teaches or someone who serves, and we look at that and it helps us on a temporary basis, does that person do that so that they will receive glory themselves? Or are we moved to give glorification to God, glorying to God? There is a difference, because if the spiritual is at work, you may be amazed at how the person demonstrates their gift, but in the end you will sit back and give glory to God for that rather than recognize the person and what they have done. Now, all of us probably have had this, if you've done anything in any public way, where people will come up and say, "Thank you, I really enjoyed that, I appreciated that, that meant something to me." And that's fine, but ultimately, does God receive the glory in the church for what he does in terms of through your life and through your spiritual gift? Because then we know it is eternal in its consequences, and it's spiritual in its consequences, and not just something for which we are trying to receive the glory. I don't have time to go on, so we'll move to the next one. The second area I want to talk to you about is how do spiritual gifts compare to the fruit of the Spirit? Now, the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, against these things there's no law. In other words, you can do as much or have as much or express as much of these, and probably nobody will have any problem with it. Okay? They go together hand in hand, but the gifts may be benefited by talents and so on, or talents and gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts have to go together. If you have the gift of wisdom, but you do not have the fruit of the Spirit of love or peace, then you could say things that would be full of wisdom, but then not demonstrated in a way that is expressive of what the character of the Spirit is. So as a Christian, really, I don't have to have a notepad or a clipboard and check off about a person's life. Well, you know, they're at church this many times a year, and I'm told that they give, and I don't have to have that as a checklist to see if you're a growing Christian or not. I only have to check you against the fruit of the Spirit, really. If someone comes up to me and nails me to the wall and is ugly and brash and hurtful, I know they are not operating out of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you understand what I mean? I just have to watch. If someone is loving, peaceful, gentle, or they're growing in those areas, then I know they are seeking to live out of a relationship with Christ based upon the Spirit living within them. And it's obvious, you can't work it up. If the Spirit's not within you, you can't be more loving. If the Spirit's not within you, you can't be more controlled. All of those things are operations of the Holy Spirit within our life. And then they must tie to spiritual gifts. You cannot have fruit of the Spirit and be mature in operating in your spiritual gifts. You have to have both spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. But they operate in a little bit different areas. For example, the fruit of the Spirit shapes the character of a Christian. How do we know if someone is growing in their character, developing their character according to the principles of Christ? Because they are demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Doesn't mean that you'll be perfect. I even recently myself had a burst of anger I was disappointed in myself for. Sometimes that happens. You lose some self-control a little bit. So what do I know? Will I blame that on somebody or kick myself in the head? No, I just say, you know what? You have not been spending enough time under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to set that aside, some time aside to let the Holy Spirit be strengthened in you. And I knew that about me. Is that too transparent for you? Are pastors supposed to be perfect? Okay, I'm trying to show that I'm a human being. Some people are offended by that. Are we all okay? Okay. All right. But the more I give myself to the Holy Spirit, the more He shapes my character. But when I let the Holy Spirit work through me in my spiritual gift, it not only shapes my character, but it begins to shape my service as a Christian. Because when He empowers me to live out of my spiritual giftedness, then it's going to result in how I serve the body of Christ. Now let me say this again. I'll lean real forward so you get this. It is not a question of whether or not the Christian should serve. It is a question about how they will serve. Every Christian should have a place of service. And many of you, I'm guessing at this, about the many part, I'm going to guess that there are many that are frustrated in their Christian life because they have never availed themselves of the opportunity and blessing that it is to serve the body of Christ. But when you serve, you not only are demonstrating, hopefully, the fruit of the Spirit, because you will not serve long until you realize, I got to get back and let the Holy Spirit shape my heart some more to serve others. It's difficult at times. But then you're also living out your spiritual giftedness, and it's fulfilling. The second area under this is the fruit of the Spirit's the same for every Christian. Every one of us needs to grow in those nine areas, I think it's nine, that are the fruit of the Spirit. Every one of us. That's how I can say that I'll know where a person is in their Christian walk, just on how they demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. It's the same for all of us. It's not that the ladies have a different list and men have a different list, or older people's is different from younger's. It's not that way. We all have the same nine things that we ought to be checking to see if the Spirit's living that out in our lives. But the spiritual gifts are different for every Christian. I'm not going to have all the spiritual gifts. I'm only going to have what few the Holy Spirit determines to give me. The fruit of the Spirit is an evidence of maturity, but the fruit of the spiritual giftedness The evidence is our faithfulness and our availability. Those are different things. If I'm growing in the Holy Spirit, living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to become more mature. How long does it take to become a mature Christian? Depends on that person, how much they give themselves to letting the Holy Spirit work in their life, and we're never done with it. There's always more. But we ought to be demonstrating maturity. And I'll tell you in this service, so that we're all up front and you know how mean of a person I really am. If you've been a Christian for 40 years and you've not grown in your Christian walk, you're a baby. Get over it. Okay? It ought to be, what does the King James Version say? The ones with the hoary head, the gray hair. If you've been a Christian a long time, and you so long that now you have some silver and gray up there, or you would if you didn't know somebody who colored it. I resemble that remark. Then you ought to be demonstrating some maturity. If you've been a Christian for, I'm stretching it to say 40 years. I think if you're a studious discipline, a disciple of Christ, over a matter of just a few years, you ought to be demonstrating some great maturity. But if you've been a Christian a long time, I ought to be able to come to you and seek wisdom. I ought to be able to come and get advice and counsel from you. Not only that, I ought to be able to come to this age group. Not all of you are that age, I understand. But those of maturity, and partner you with some people who are younger who need somebody to help them to grow in what it means to be a Christian. We've got, in America, Christianity, we've got too much individualism to it. It's all about me. It's about my personal walk with Christ. And leave me alone. I don't want to share anything. That's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is those who have been there and have walked the steps and have made the journey and have shown maturity. Then we partner them with people who are still down in the lower infancy of what it means to be a Christian and help that person to grow up and develop and become mature. Fruit of the Spirit's always available to everyone. You can grow in love, you can grow in your peace, you can grow in your gentleness. All you have to do is just give it over to the Holy Spirit to work in your life. But spiritual gifts, that's only available as God directs or designs. He chooses who gets what spiritual gifts. In the fruit of the Spirit, it's the attribute that itself is desired. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit that is joy, what we're looking for in that is that you become more joyful. We're looking for you to express joy. But in the spiritual gift, it is the ministry that is desired, not just the gift itself. Now let me see if I can explain this a little bit. It is not our job to find out what our spiritual gift is and then wear a badge, I have these gifts and you don't. Ah-ha-ha. Or to even give a testimony, my spiritual gift is whatever it is. That's not the end result. The end result is you have the spiritual gift, you find out what it is, and then you get plugged into a ministry that helps you express that spiritual giftedness. Does that make sense? Fruit of the Spirit, all we want to do is have the Holy Spirit bring more joy in our life, bring more peace into our life, bring more love into our life. But with spiritual giftedness, we want the Holy Spirit to reveal our spiritual gift to us so then we can apply it in terms of ministry. Aren't you all excited about that? Don't overwhelm me, I might fall over. Third area, natural talents. Bottom line there is, sometimes the spiritual giftedness looks a lot like natural talent. It's just what is the end result. And that takes patience to watch for it. Spiritual gifts compared to the fruit of the Spirit. But the bottom line there is, we want you to have all of the fruit of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit's living out in your life. We don't want you just to know what your spiritual gift is. We want you to know it so then you can express it through ministry in the church. And I'll explain a little bit more next week about how that works. Thirdly, spiritual gifts, how do they compare to the Christian responsibilities? And here's how it usually works. Somebody will take a spiritual gifts assessment, and I'm going to show that to you, by the way. I might as well do that right now. This is not available today. It will be available next Sunday because I want you to be able to hear last week, this week, and next week before you take it. This is what it looks like. It's a little booklet like this. It's pretty thin. And we're going to include an envelope with it. If you can, help defray the cost. It's $2. If you can't, take it. Somebody else will make up the difference, I'm sure. I'm not worried about that, but that will help us. And inside this little booklet, it gives you some instructions. And then you answer 96 questions. And you write those answers, which is like 1, 2, 3, or 4. You write that in the blanks here, and then it shows you how to score it so that you discover what your gift is, or gifts are. And then we're including a sheet like this. You put your name and the date that you took it, and then we want you to list. Some of you will get a score, and maybe your scores are grouped together, like you have one gift that's 16 and another that's 15 and another that's 15. And so you're going to write those three because your fourth one is 9. There's quite a divergence between the numbers, so you're going to write the ones that are grouped together at the top. Now, some of you may have 4 or 5, but that's not necessarily usual, okay? So you're going to write that down, and you're going to keep this book, and you're going to turn this sheet in. Now, it has a little secret thing on the back, which is after the fifth Sunday, and we understand how certain gifts fit with certain ministries, you're going to tell us what ministries you think God is leading you in. And we're going to use our fancy, dancy, modern technology and put that on the computer. And from now on, when we ask somebody to serve on a committee or do an ad hoc job or short-term service, whatever it might be, we're going to find out what your spiritual gifts are, and we'll try to pair you in our request to you something that matches your giftedness. Ta-da! The church becomes the body of Christ. Isn't it amazing? But you're going to keep this booklet because it will describe at the back all what the spiritual gifts mean and scripture references that describe what it looks like. Now, do me a favor, please. Don't be like a little child that reads the back of the book first so you know how to take the test. Just take the test one page at a time and don't read ahead, okay? Otherwise, you're going to mess up the whole kingdom of God. So, I just couldn't bear it. All right, this is what happens then. Somebody takes their spiritual gifts test and they find out their spiritual gifts are service and teaching. And so they get alone and they say, all right, I don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism. I no longer have to witness ever again. Could you imagine somebody doing that? Because there are certain responsibilities that every Christian has, like sharing your faith, giving a witness, like giving, stewardship, financial responsibility. There are certain responsibilities every Christian has, even if you don't have the spiritual gift in that. You are supposed to demonstrate faith, are you not, as a Christian? Maybe you don't have the spiritual gift of that, but you are to demonstrate faith. How do those things then compare? The gift of giving and the responsibility of tithing. Somebody who has the responsibility of tithing is a Christian. But a person in the congregation that has the gift of giving is someone that loves to give, and they love to encourage others to give, and they usually challenge the church in our giving. They are somebody that God has gifted and blessed and set them in the congregation to stir us up in our giving. And they have the gift of giving, but all of us are required to give financially. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time there because everybody already knows that Baptist preachers are greedy and, we're all about money anyway, so that I can have a vacation home down in the beautiful outskirts of Tupelo, Mississippi. That's what it's all about. But let me just tell you this. If you're a Christian and you're a member of this church, it is your responsibility to give. I'm gracious enough, like God's word is, to let you start wherever you'd like to start. But I'm not so naive to think that you can always stay there. When you were a teenager and you were working your first job at McDonald's, and when the plate passed, you threw in $1.50, that's where you started years ago, okay, that's fine. But you've got to grow in that. Now that you're 35 or you're 65, you've got to be a better steward and more mature in what it means to give than that, all right? Your $1.50 back then might have been a larger contribution than your $1.50 is today. Are we all clear on that? It's growth in giving, grace in giving. And grace is never less than law, by the way. I'll save that for the fall when I talk about stewardship. But just so everybody knows, grace is always more than law, never less than law. The gift of evangelism and the responsibility to share our witness. We all have the responsibility to share a witness. Some have the gift of evangelism. And they are the ones that spur us on and encourage us and teach us and help us to do it better. But even though you don't have the gift of evangelism, you still are required to be a witness. Maybe you don't have the gift of intercession, but you have the responsibility to pray. Just because it's not my spiritual gift, intercession, doesn't mean I shouldn't pray. So when we find out our spiritual gifts, it's not an erasure of those responsibilities that I don't have gifts for. Am I communicating? Sometimes I say things backwards, so I'm from the north. You'll have to forgive me. The gift of faith and the responsibility to exercise our faith. Maybe you don't have the gift of faith. I have known people who have the gift of faith in the body of Christ. They will stand up and they will challenge us. Believe in God. Trust in Him. They remind us of the greatness of God and the things He's done for us. And then they call upon us to exercise our amount of faith, whatever amount of faith we have. We cannot be the church without people who have the spiritual gift of faith. But all of us must demonstrate faith. We must exhibit faith. And finally, the final example I have here is the gift of service and the responsibility to serve in a form of ministry. Every one of us should serve in some ministry capacity. For years and years, in my churches, I was involved very heavily in nursing home ministry and did services in 2 nursing homes twice a week. And when you see some of the people, especially those that are in very great need of physical care, you wonder as believers, what more can they do? What could they do? They want to help. They still have a heart for their church and for Christ, but there's not much they can do anymore. And I have challenged them to be warriors of prayer. Pray for their priests or pray for their ministers. Pray for their pastors in those places. And they have time. They understand that. There are many times they're waiting for help or waiting to go someplace that somebody's going to take them to. And I've encouraged those older adults, be warriors of prayer. There is a way that every one of us can be a servant. If you can't drive nails anymore, it's hard for you to study your lessons and be prepared to teach it on a Sunday. There are things you can do by praying, encouraging, supporting, loving, embracing others. There are ways to serve in the church, and all of us should have a place of service. Even though, did you know that the statistics are of all Christians who take a spiritual gifts assessment, I probably shouldn't tell you this yet, but I will, 45% of all Christians result in their number one or number two spiritual gift is service or helps. What do you think about that? The Holy Spirit determines who gets what gifts, and 45% of us, either our number one or number two gift is service. What are you thinking God wants Christians to do? You know, I'm not a genius, and I'm from Yankee land, and I can figure that out. Yeah. I'm not going to say that anymore. So are you there? So here's the number one thing. You will not have a spiritual gift unless you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're frustrated in your Christian life, maybe it's because you've never found your place of service. Maybe you're disobedient, you don't want to serve, you're just happy to come to church, sit in the pew, listen to the pastor yell at you, you think you've done your penance, and you're going to go out and face the world another week. If that's your Christian life, more power to you. But you're missing the great joy that is yours. But if you'll discover your spiritual giftedness and get matched to a ministry that fits it, then you will find such fulfillment that you've never known in your Christian life. And we want to help you do that. It's really not my job to get more servants. You know, that's not my job. My job is to teach you God's Word. And over these 5 weeks, I will do my best to help us explore these passages where God teaches us every Christian has a gift and we need to live out in ministry out of that giftedness. Some of you will discover that God has given you 2 or 3 or 4 spiritual gifts. He has blessed you in amazing ways. And He wants you to use that in the body of Christ. And I am going to be so excited when we start to get our members paired by their spiritual gift to a ministry that fits them. And you all are going to be so happy and tickled pink. Is that Mississippi tickled pink? Okay. The joy is just going to be immense around here. And remember last fall I shared with you the vision as I prayed that God gave me about our church. One of the main things was this would be a place filled with such joy. It'll be the most fun place to come to church in all of Eastern DeSoto County. And that will happen when Christians start living out of their spiritual giftedness and you get so excited. Maybe you have the spiritual gift of evangelism and nobody's ever helped you get plugged in and you start not only winning people to Christ but helping the rest of us do it better. You're going to be so excited. We'll have to tie you down the pew, otherwise you'd be floating. I think I'm going to go ahead and have seat belts installed. Just get ready for that. I'm going to have to stop. My challenge to you is, would you ask God, Lord, help to prepare my heart so that as I discover my spiritual giftedness or I learn ministries that will fit my spiritual giftedness, I'll be ready to say yes, I'll be obedient. Lord, do that work in us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.